Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings. You're listening to our Prophecy Reality Edition. And what are we doing today? Okay, what have we got in the news? Usually I have time to look, at least look at the news, but let me take a look and see what we got there. And I did have some emails, which I was going to review before I went on the air, but ran out of time. Okay, let's see. Let's look at this one. Getting out of the UN for good. I don't even know why we bother with this, to tell you the truth. But let's put this on the screen there. And this is from the New American. Yeah, that's today, or yesterday. May 23rd, getting us out of the UN for good. With United Nations in entities and personnel repeatedly demonstrating bad judgment and legality and corruption, now is the time for the United States to exit the UN. Now, do you really think that Donald Trump is going to exit the UN? It's kind of crazy to think that it could happen. Now, I believe that the UN is the image of the beast, because it's an image of the worldwide governing body that the Roman Empire was at one time. And I don't think that Donald Trump has any control. Donald Trump is not going to get the U.S. out of the U.N. any more than any president before him has. See, because a lot of people have this idea that... And I think even some of these guys, when they go into office and run for president, they think they can straighten things out, and they think they're going to control the beast. But they don't look at the U.S. government as what it is, as what the scripture defines it as, and the scripture defines it as a beast, and the beast powers of Daniel and the Revelation. And so when you understand, when you become the mouth of the beast, because that's what happens when you run for president, you become the mouth of that earth beast, the final beast that's introduced in the scriptures. Yeah. And you don't control the beast. The beast controls the mouth. I mean, try it sometime. Let your mouth control you. It doesn't work. It's the person that controls the mouth and whatever's going on up in their brain. And if you just become the mouth of this beast, you may think you're going to change things. You may think you're going to control things. And the powers that really are, well, let's call it what the scripture calls it, the Antichrist powers that rule the world. I mean, doesn't really anyone need to argue about this? Oh, the Antichrist isn't coming till the final 7 years when God's going to deal with Israel, and all this, you know, fantasy, this end-time Jesuit counter-reformation, end-time Antichrist scenario. But the Bible says that the Antichrist rules the world in the end, okay? So, believe it or not, like it or not, accept it or not, it doesn't matter. It's what the facts are. And the Antichrist is firmly in control of America. I've been rereading again F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. And it is just too plain right now that the Antichrist, through his militant arm, and that is the Jesuits, have fully gain control over the world systems and all the governments of men out here. And when you realize that all these governments, Satan, the devil, wasn't just bragging. As a matter of fact, he was trying not to brag. when Jesus was tempted and he was taken to a pinnacle, and Satan showed him all the kingdoms of this world, and he said, all these kingdoms are mine. And then we have it in Revelation, you know, that beast power that gets the beast, the final beast that goes to perdition, that gets its power from the dragon. Yeah, that's Satan. That's the same, the same Satan, the same devil that tried to get Jesus to join his government, because he controls them all. Okay? Let's not have any illusions about what's really going on out here. The Antichrist has a firm grasp on the world system right now, and has had for quite a while. A little setback there between, the French Revolution and 1929, but boy, that Jesuit army, even during that time when it had this apparent head wound, its Jesuit army was taking a whole different tact on gaining control of the world for the papacy. And not only gaining control of the world for the papacy, but gaining control of the papacy itself. And as we all know, we have a Jesuit pope now. So the Jesuits have firmly controlled the papacy and everything else, and the Antichrist is in the top of his game as he's ever has been. The unholy trinity that rules the world, well, that's a reality that most people can't accept, don't know about, think it's just some ridiculous conspiracy theory, but it's true. The money, powers, everything is under the firm grasp of the Antichrist, just as predicted by the book of Revelation. Okay? So, getting out of the UN, forget it. It's not going to happen. I mean, that would be something else. So, anyway, over there at the New American, well, they can keep putting that tobacco in their pipe and smoking it if they want, but it's only a pipe dream. Sorry to say. Let's see what our next story is here. And I don't know, you find that depressing, anybody? Anyway, we should have another story here. Let's see what else we got. Let's do our scripture verse. Michael's given me one here. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I have said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it comes. Yes, the world's peace, and you know, that's the whole idea of the United Nations, is supposedly, that's how they're selling it anyway, that bring all the nations together under the Antichrist power of the United Nations. And all these powers are anti-Christian. Regardless of whether they are the Antichrist or not. And they claim they're going to bring peace to the world. Of course, as the scripture says, the violent take it by force. So they think that they can use force to bring peace to the world. And that's why, in the end, as foretold by the scripture, that they'll even start killing people who don't go along. I mean, that's really, ever since the rise of the apostate church communist method of governing, okay, a communist, fascist, or I call it social commu fascism. They just eliminate people that don't fit into their scheme of things. And they think they have the right to do this because, after all, if you're God on earth or you're God's representative on earth, you can do no errors, and, you know, God has the right to, you know, put people to death anytime he wants. I mean, after all, we all die, you know. But the thing is that, you know, we all received a death sentence from our great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. And so we have that death sentence. So God doesn't murder anybody. It was as he warned Adam, but he did. And so we have peace. And the only real peace we can find is in Christ itself and in his redemption, because we have peace that we know that when our mortality ends, that we will be raised from the dead. And not only that, that all of the promises of God are ours, so we can rest in that, have peace in that, that we will have a new body. When we see him, we will be like him. And will never get sick or old or die again. Death will be conquered at last, and, well, already has by faith. I mean, we already have eternal life by faith, and, you know, when you have that, that's where our true peace comes from. So the world can try for their peace, but Jesus said, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So even when calamity comes, well, Scripture says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." That means to use your mind and remember the promises of God that even in death we have hope, and we do. So United Nations will go by the way of the beast powers that are all existing today when Christ returns and abolishes them forever, as foretold by Daniel the prophet, and you can read that in Daniel chapter 2. Let's see what other story we have here. Something from Breaking Israel News. Jewish priests, biblical status. Oh, I got to put this one on the screen here. Jewish priests, biblical status, confirmed by DNA, ready to prepare for the third temple. Silence has proven that the priesthood is exactly as the Bible described it, an eternal covenant that will reappear to herald in the third temple. Well, these people are a little bit delusional, because we know that the eternal priesthood is found in Christ, that all of the promises to Israel are fulfilled in Christ. So there's no, the Jews don't need another week, a 70th week in the future. 70th week has already passed. All the promises, you know, and the question is for all these Jew-worshipping evangelicals out there who think that the Jews are God's chosen people, but, you know, what are we? If they're God's chosen people, we're just kind of grafted in Gentiles or something. Sorry. You know, what if those Jews, those unbelieving Jews who practice Judaism, Talmudism, Kabbalism or Kabbalism, if they're God's chosen people, those unregenerates who have rejected the Messiah, have not been born again, if they're God's chosen people, then what about the tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, in the first century that were converted to Jesus during the 40 years that followed the crucifixion of our Messiah, during the 40 years that followed his putting an end to the sacrifice in the midst of the week? Yeah. What about those people? Those that obeyed the Messiah, no longer practiced Judaism, Babylonian, Talmudic Judaism, or Kabbalism, or any of those aberrant things, and who fled Judah, Israel, Jerusalem. They fled in obedience to the Messiah, and they took the gospel to the world and to the nations. And those were the obedient, okay? They're not God's chosen people. But the unbelievers then and today must have been and must be God's chosen people. No, God's not through with the Jews yet, but hey, he's not through with the Russians, the Mexicans, the Canadians, you know, the American Indians, or the, you name it, Africans or the Australians. He's not true with any of us. He's dealing with all of the nations. When Daniel said 70 weeks are determined for your people, for the holy city, he was talking about Israel, that Hebrew nation that was existing at that time when he said that, and that came back together as prophesied, came back to the land as prophesied, rebuilt the temple as prophesied, and brought forth the Messiah as prophesied, and then was destroyed again in 70 AD. And the words of Jesus, he said that you're going to be killed with the sword. Not one stone will be left upon another here, and you'll be killed by the sword or taken captive into all the nations. That was what he foretold for the disobedient in Israel, the ones they would today call God's chosen people. Well, I'm sorry. God's chosen people are his people. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border,